Well, welcome to the Market Intelligence Report webinar for the week of June 1st. We've changed the format up here a little bit. Instead of going with the whole team, each week we're going to go a little bit deeper into each section. And this week we have Ryan Standert, who's our senior analyst for the fats and oils section, to go over the low CI section. So with that, Ryan, do you want to take it from here?
Yeah, let's roll. So we focused on the choice weight grease market this week and the low CI MI report. And there's a lot going on in all the markets, but choice weight grease in particular is seeing a lot of movement as of late. A big reason for that is here you can see this chart that George has pulled up. That orange line is the actual slaughter from 2020. The blue line is 2019 actual slaughter, and the green line is what we thought slaughter was going to do there in the last half of March through June of this year, just basis hogs and pigs reports, all the other inputs we put into that. And there's a big difference you can see. So what happened was supply tightened up, demand was relatively steady for a while, but in response to those high prices, feed producers cut back significantly on their inclusion rates. Another reason was for maintenance mode. So hog farmers had to clear barn space because it's just, you know, it's a well-oiled machine. You expect hogs in at a certain time and you expect them out to the slaughter facilities at a certain time. And that was disrupted by lack of access to the large facilities. And so they were forced to depopulate their herds, that they were going into euthanization mode. That pushed more animals into whole hog rendering, which created an additional fat supply. But instead of throwing weight on hogs that potentially could be euthanized or they don't know when they have access to slaughterhouses, they reformulated their rations. And a big part of that is cutting out fat, which has got a big caloric density, and you remove that, that's going to slow the weight gain. So that's kind of a survival mode. So while these reformulations are taking place, we see this orange line towards the right side of the chart starts to pick back up. And that's what's happening now is slaughter's picked up, choice weight grease production is picked up at a time where fat usage is very low, just based off those maintenance rations. And as a result, prices have come down. Additionally, there's some unexpected or something you can't plan for is absenteeism, particularly at present. So if plants don't know how much they're going to run, how many hogs are going to run through, they don't know what their supply is going to look like from one week to the next. So sellers are seeing additional loads kind of dropped on them last minute, and as a result are having to cut prices sharply to keep material moving. We're seeing this not only in the fat market, but in the protein side as well. So we're predicting prices or projecting prices to fall to a low of about 19 cents this week or next. And I think those lows are going to hang around for a while until reformulations kick in. We anticipate that happening the second half of June, maybe early July, where the hog feeders or the hog farmers will start to use more fat in the rations as they become more confident in their access to the slaughter facilities. And we'll see those prices start to trend back up as they follow the corn market. Fat's very well priced versus corn right now at 20, 21 cents. It makes sense to max out on inclusions. So that 19 cents should incentivize some feeders to use more fat in their rations in the near term. As far as the other big demand sector, which is biodiesel, goes, they seem to be fairly long on soybean oil, and they're aggressive in their stance on pricing. I think they see the 19, 20 cents probably makes sense to them, but my guess is they're going to push for all low CI commodities to consolidate towards that number, at least on the yellow grease and tallow side. I don't know that they'll have much luck with the BFT, but definitely on the yellow and the choice weight there. So again, we expect some near-term lows to be tested over the next 2 to 3 weeks, but as usage increases and there's more consistency in the supply side, we're projecting prices to increase there in July and August. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions that anybody has on choice weight grease or anything else for that matter, BFT, tech, corn oil, so we can dig into any of it.
All right. Well, Ryan, the first question I have is, where is the DCO market headed?
The corn oil market, that should head sharply lower over the next 3 to 4 weeks. There's been a lack of liquidity in the market. There are some long positions that got put on early in the year once that blender's tax credit came through. And as ethanol plants have shut down due to, you know, lack of demand, cheap gasoline prices, not a lot of demand from the gasoline side for ethanol, there's been a lack of supply. And that's kind of kept prices steady while the other low CI feedstocks or feed ingredients have come off. But here you can see lower prices projected. And we expect that trend to continue, or we expect it to really kick in the next 2 to 3 weeks as more ethanol plants come on board and there's more supply available to the market. And those bids are quite low. So I think we'll see that correct into the low 20s here as we move through June.
Okay. I just want to remind the attendees, if you have questions, submit them in the Q&A section. I got a couple here to shoot through, but we have Ryan's time here to ask any of the questions you have about where the market's headed or what you're seeing in the market. Just submit them right here. Ryan, are you seeing, what's the long-term supply outlook for the fat market?
I think we're going to see it get to more normal or 2018, 2019 type levels over the next 4 to 6 weeks. Longer term, you know, we were projecting like 4 to 5% increase in hog slaughter this year. I don't think that's going to happen just because of production capabilities are going to be cut. Absenteeism is going to be a factor. You know, there's obviously concern over a second wave of COVID-19, the second half of the year, that could have an impact on it. And I think that there's some change in the way that the packers and the renders are, mostly the packers, are processing animals. There's more distancing. There could be slower runtime. So I think that the numbers are going to be down. Exactly what is still a little bit fuzzy, but you know, we've heard estimates as much as 20%. I think it's probably more like a 4 to 5% reduction relative to year ago levels, provided things stay relatively calm or they level off and we see a plateau in COVID cases and plants continue to run as they have the last couple of weeks and increase as we expect them to.
Okay. Thanks, Ryan. Mm-hmm. Why is there such a large spread between BFT and technical / edible tallow?
Yeah, I think it's near record highs at, I think, 14 cents right now between technical edible, which are two separate products, and bleachable fancy tallow. The cattle slaughter has increased, and so the we're seeing more BFT come out, but the raw material for those products are different. So at the start of the process, when cattle go through and get broken down into the different beef cuts, there's an initial offloading, at least at some plants, of offal, and that will go directly into the rendering stream, and that's what makes bleachable fancy tallow. As they break further cuts down and they trim fat off of different areas, that goes into an edible or a different processing stream for technical. And I think that it may be that the processing is focused on the beef right now, and so there's less trim going into that edible technical stream. And so the supply of that is less than what, or the increase in supply of that is less than what the BFT has been. And it's just such a specialty product that the demand has been really consistent from the personal care producers, you know, soap manufacturers, as well as renewable diesel. And export demand from Mexico has been really strong as well. So there's a lot of interest for just not a lot of product. And we expect that technical edible price to remain relatively steady here in the near term. With that said, there is an opportunity for imports from Europe or from Australia. If somebody has a broker they're working with who can get the paperwork through or check into that, prices in Europe are significantly lower for premium tallow grades relative to the U.S. And the same thing is true for Australia. I believe top white tallow is in the high 600s, low 700s FOB Australia, which is like a $200 discount to what the U.S. is currently.
All right. Ryan, can you talk a little bit about where the poultry fat market, the outlook there, what's that look like?
We're going to see lower prices there as well. Just like the choice white grease market, I think that the sellers are struggling with a lack of foresight in what they're going to have to sell. So they're erring on the side of being conservative. You know, say they think they're going to have 7 loads. They might go ahead and sell 6 for the next week, and then they might see 10 loads show up, and they need to move that extra 4. And so they're having to cut prices to keep things moving. And we expect that to continue in the short term. You know, conservative in the forward position, and that's creating some quick longs in the nearby.
Okay. This one's more of a Tory question. If Tory was here, but I'm sure you can answer it, Ryan. Are you seeing a lot of long positions on soybean oil for the renewable / bio industry?
You know, I think some long positions got put on more like late April and early May when RBD soybean oil was discounted. I think a lack of access to, or a lack of demand, I should say, from the restaurant industry led some of the refined soybean oil sellers to look to alternative sources. And so they were moving material into renewable diesel and a biodiesel market at probably record low basis prices. So, you know, we've heard numbers as low as, you know, 200 over the nearby market back in late April, early May. And I think that some of those producers went long. And so they've established a comfortable position. And that's another reason why I think we'll see lower animal fat prices in the near term as the renewable producers, biodiesel producers are comfortable in some of their soybean oil positions.
Okay. I got two more questions here unless the audience has more to submit. Are you seeing a lot of activity from the pet food sector?
That seems to have slowed down a little bit. We did see a lot of activity after that initial March surge, you know, when everybody was out buying toilet paper and all the meat they could stuff in their freezer. Pet food was on that list of ingredients. And so when those shelves cleared, I think a lot of the pet food manufacturers ramped into overdrive to restock those empty shelves. That surge seems to have been worked through, and we're getting into more of a traditional summer lull, I guess. And they seem to have most of their needs taken care of on contract. So some of those premium, like poultry fats and other products that have been hotly demanded by the pet food industry, I think we'll see a little bit of a lower demand from them in the near term, which could create some near-term availability.
All right. And this one's more a question from me. Maybe if you just leave the audience with a view on what is the long-term supply outlook for the fat market?
Long-term supply outlook. Again, I think we're going to see lower levels than we did in 18 and 19. Mm-hmm. And that's really it. It's just a matter of week to week, month to month, and as producers figure out what their workforce looks like. Because, you know, it's an important thing to note is that animal fats or low CI feedstocks are byproducts of another process, right? So use cooking oil as a function of restaurant demand. Choice white grease, tallow, poultry fat, they're a function of chicken and beef and pork processing. So there's demand for protein and meat out there. It's just a matter of getting the people in those plants to process the animals. And as long as that's, I think, going to be slowed because of precautionary changes that the large producers have made to keep their employees safe. So there's going to be a little less as a result of that. But again, it's going to be week to week here near term. And I think slightly less in the long term through 2020.
All right. Well, Ryan, that's all the questions I have from the audience. Thank you for taking the time to chat with us. And the market intelligence report went out late. It went out this morning as opposed to yesterday. That is my fault. I apologize to everybody for that, but you should have that in your inbox. And if you have any additional questions, Ryan, what's the best way for the audience to reach you?
Yeah, shoot me an email, ryan@thejacobson.com. If there's anything that pops up in the next couple of weeks, please don't hesitate to shoot me an email, and we'll chat about what's going on out there.
All right. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, audience. And we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right. Thanks, everybody.